Hello, and welcome to Truth Talk and Prayer, a place where we share God's Word in very practical ways to strengthen, encourage, and guide you on your own journey so you live and enjoy your life. I believe that God's Word is powerful. I believe His Word can deliver to you all those things you desire, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, what house, provision, protection, security, a total sense of well-being, even transformation. And God's Word can empower you to touch other lives. Because what is life if you are not impacting another person's life positively? Once again, this is Truth Talk, and my name is Ijeoma Anyanwu. So this week, we've been spending a lot of time looking at Jesus and the three things we saw in this particular passage in John chapter 13. And we are going to be looking at that passage again this morning, but we want to remind ourselves of the things so far we saw that Jesus knew in those verses. Like we said, Jesus is all-knowing, He knows everything. So when we say what He knew, we are simply talking about those verses in consideration, what we saw there that Jesus knew. And the first thing we say He knew is that He knew His assignment, and so He kept His assignment in view. The second thing we saw there was that Jesus knew He had been given power and authority. And today, we want to look at the third thing that Jesus knew from that passage. And it's in John chapter 13, and I read, "It was now just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the very end. That evening, as the meal was underway, and the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus, Jesus knew that the Father had delivered all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was returning to God." So that's the third thing. "And that He had come from God and was returning to God." So Jesus knew where He was from. He kept that in view. Throughout His time in ministry, Jesus keeps saying, "I know where I'm from. I know who sent me. You don't know me, but I know the one who sent me, and I know where I'm from." What was that? His identity. Jesus did not forget His identity. He knew who He was, and He knew where He was from. And so throughout His time, whenever He was ministering, most of His messages, He would put in that to let them know, first of all, look, I'm not fake. This is who I am. This is where I'm from. This is who has sent me. Jesus was always conscious of that. What can we learn from that on our own journey? Know who you are. Yesterday we talked about knowing what you have, the power at your disposal for your assignment, for your life. Today we want to say, know who you are. Don't ever forget that. Very, very important. Why is it so important? We are in a world where identity has become an issue. It's amazing that we get lost about who we are. It's just amazing. But I know that it's also the trick of the enemy, because he knows that when you know who you are, it impacts or it affects what you do. I remember when we were growing up, one of the things you hear parents say when they are sending the child off to school, or you know, they will say, remember the family you are from. Remember the family you are from. You know, that was such an important thing. These days, I don't hear families talking so much about that. But then it was like, hey, don't go there to embarrass the family. Don't bring shame to the family. Very important, identity. Knowing who you are will affect the way you live. Many people do things they do because they don't know who they are, or they don't put that understanding before them. And I think it's sad. And I also think, like I was saying, it's part of the devil's ploy to keep us distracted and to keep us off point. The Bible said about Esau, it said that Esau sold his birthright for a meal. We all know that story. If you don't know, we know, but just to remind us, Esau was a twin. His brother was Jacob. And at birth, Esau had come out first, Jacob next, so making him the firstborn. But then, of course, that meant he was entitled to the, you know, family inheritance. He was first in line. But then the Bible said that one of the days Esau went out to get some, you know, he went hunting because he was a hunter. Jacob was always around, you know. And when he came back, he was so hungry. And Jacob was cooking, making a very nice meal. And Esau was so hungry that he asked Jacob, please give me some of this soup. Give me some of that food. I'm so hungry. And Jacob, being who he was at that time, and knowing the value of what Esau had, quickly said, I will give you, but first sell me your birthright. Esau was like, what are we talking about birthright? I'm hungry, you're talking about birthright. Give me food. He says, sell me your birthright. I'll give you a bowl for it. Well, I'll take birthright now. I'm hungry, I'm talking about food. And Esau took that meal and ate it and just walked away, not thinking about what he had done. But did you see something there? Esau was not mindful. But Jacob, imagine Jacob saying, sell me your birthright. Jacob understood what Esau had more than Esau himself. Esau just took it for granted. You know, that's how sometimes we just take things for granted. Yeah, I am this or I have this. And we just, you know, important things we have, sometimes relationships, sometimes opportunities, and we just treat it anyhow. Whatever. That word, whatever. I don't know who invented it. We put them together like that. But I don't know how much good it really does. You know? And so we are not thinking too deeply into those things, and we just handle it carelessly, and before we know, it's gone. And that was what happened to Esau. The scripture says, if you go into Hebrews, they say, when he now came back, in fact, that was the story continued that. When the father was now old and needed to pray and prophetically pass on the blessings of the firstborn, he told Esau, my son, Isaac, the dad was very old at this point, he could barely see. He said, go and hunt and bring some of that meat you usually bring. Delicious. Come and cook it. When I eat, I will bless you. The mother heard. And she quickly went to meet Jacob. Because the mother remembered that when she was pregnant, God had told her that the younger, you know, will be greater, as in the older one will serve the younger. The Lord told her when she was pregnant, she heard that. So when she heard Esau saying this, somebody told her, no, that's not going to be it. I like the way she did. She didn't go to argue. Wives, if it were people like us who would have bounced in the room and started arguing. Didn't you hear what the Lord said? That used to be me. I'm learning. The Lord said this. Wisdom is profitable. Rebecca did not argue. She did not bounce in the room. No. She just went to Jacob. Look, Jacob, I heard so and so and so. Go and get me one of our goods in the house there. Let's prepare it. Prepare it. I'll cook very well the way your father likes it. After all, she may have been the one who taught Esau how to cook. So whatever he was going to prepare, she was the brain. So she would do it even better. And so she prepared that meal, gave it to Jacob, who was hesitant. Jacob was like, my brother and I are so different. He's hairy, I'm not. Like, our father will know. He said, don't worry. Jacob said, he will curse me if he finds out. He said, don't worry, let it be on my head. Women of faith, women of understanding. She reminds me of the mother of Moses. In this generation, we need mothers. Mothers of understanding. This woman knew the word had gone ahead. So it wasn't, she was just following prophecy. And so Jacob went and prepared, got the meat, she cooked it, dressed him up, took this fur, put it on him. See wisdom. God. Really, she reminds me of Jochebed, Moses' mother, you know. Where she designed the basket this time, put fur. See, God giving wisdom to a wise wife who chose to use wisdom instead of physical power. And so Jacob took the food. Of course, he was afraid because he knew the implication of what he was doing. Isaac almost, he suspected. First of all, this food is coming so early. When he heard father and back, he was like, so quick. He said, yeah, God granted me favor. And then the voice was not sounding like Esau's voice. But he couldn't see very well. And then he was, come close and kiss me. He came close. He smelled, okay, because the mother made sure he was wearing Esau's clothes. He touched him. His body was hairy like Esau. He was like, okay, I'm sure somewhere deep inside, somebody was telling him, this doesn't feel like Esau. But all the signs seem to be in place. And he ate and blessed Jacob. And the scripture says, as Jacob stepped out, not long Esau came, went to cook everything. By the time he went in, father, I'm here. The father was like, yeah, okay. Who are you? Say, I'm Esau. I'm sorry. Somebody has just come here and collected, and Esau knew it was Jacob. But what did the scripture say about him? In Hebrew, he said Esau despised his birthright. So what he thought was just, I better give me soup, let me eat, I'm hungry. What he thought was just that was more than that. It had, the implications were much further than he imagined. And the Bible calls him an ungodly man, ungodly and immoral because of that action. Because he did not sit to think about who he is, his birthright. That birthright, he did not think of it as something important. He didn't even ask, why do you want my birthright? Has it come to this? That because of a bowl of soup, you are asking me for birthright. But you know what this birthright is? He didn't even think about that. And that's what we are talking about this morning. You know, we started this week, even last week, talking about times and seasons. This is a time where we are moving into different seasons of our lives. Many of us are changing locations. We are changing jobs. Different things. Please remember who you are. Don't negotiate your birthright. And when I say who you are a child of God, number one. You are a decent person. Remember that. Don't compromise that the Bible says, like Esau, for a meal, for a job, for a high earning job, for great opportunity. Don't do that. The Bible says that when he sought to get it back, there was no chance to reverse the choice he had made. There are some things we do in life, there are some choices we make that have far reaching implications. I always tell my children this: when you are giving an offer, pray about it. Any offer that doesn't give you time to pray and think it through, please let it go. Because that's one of the enemy's greatest strategy. Everything, now. There's an urgency. No, you don't have time to, just now. Anything that comes, now, say, please take it. If you can't give me time to pray about this, think about this, please let it go. Let it go. I know there are times that things come up in the spur of the moment, you need to make this decision, but it doesn't come with that kind of urgency that makes you, even when you are making the decision, you are wondering, God, am I doing the right thing? You know, anything that comes like that, stop. Stop and think. God is never in a hurry like that. Remember the story of Elijah? The Bible says when it was this time Elijah went, you know, after he ran away from Jezebel, and he went to the mountain somewhere there, and he was waiting for God to speak. See, the sound came, mountains, and there was earthquake and the wind, all of those. God, the Bible says God was not in all of those things. When he came as a still small voice. God guides us in a still small voice. He never comes with that sense of now. If you don't do it now, No, that's the devil, because he knows if you don't have time to think, you won't be able to make, in most cases, you won't be able to make the right decision. That was what happened to Esau. He didn't think. He didn't say first, wait a minute. Why is this guy talking about birthright? What's the connection between my birthright and a bowl of soup? He didn't even think, because that's the enemy. He won't give you time to think. Many people sell their destinies because they didn't take time to think about what they were doing, the choice they were about to make. Valentine is around the corner. Young women, young ladies, let me talk about my young, beautiful career, she's single. Somebody's coming and saying, now, you have to prove it to me. You have to prove your love. Give me a break. Prove what? If he loves you, he'll wait. He won't keep pushing you. He won't even be giving you stuff because he wants you in exchange. That's usually what it is here. That was an exchange. Give me this and I'll give you that. I've given you this. Oh, yeah, show me your love. Prove to me your love. Your virtue is one of the greatest gifts you have as a woman. Don't sell it. Don't sell it. No job is worth it. No relationship, no guy is worth it. In fact, if he gets it that way, when you get into marriage, the trust is broken. He will never trust you. Because he said if he could do that before he married you, every time you step out and say, oh, I was at work, you say, after one way, we're not even... that she you did it for me. How am I sure that you're not doing it for somebody else? That's what happens. So please don't let any sense of urgency push you to make any choice that you've not prayed about, that you have not thought through. So Esau lost it. So Jesus knew, know who you are. If you're a child of God, I am a child of God. I can't compromise my faith for anything. Look at what the Bible said about Moses. It's just wonderful. It says in Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, that faith enabled Moses to choose God's will. For although he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to make that his identity, choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God. Moses preferred faith's faith's uncertainty above the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasure. He found his true wealth in suffering abuse for being anointed, more than in anything this world could offer him. For his eyes looked with wonder, not on the immediate, but on the ultimate, faith's great reward. Ha! Let's remember that after this world, there's a reward waiting for us. If you are a child of God, if you are somebody living for God, you are serving God, there's a reward. We are all trusting God for better life. I'm not saying don't go for better life or opportunities. I'm not saying that, for goodness sake. Even me. Everybody loves a better life. You want your family in a secure place. You want your children in a good school, in a safe and secured environment. Everybody loves that. And God knows you need that. The Bible says that's what he provided for his children. He put them the children of Israel, he put them in a safe, secured environment. Peaceful. So the Father is mindful that you need that for your family. He said a place that was free from outside distractions and all kinds of interruptions, free from all kinds of oppositions and oppressions. So God knows you need that for your family. He's aware. But don't go after it at the detriment of your faith, especially of your family, because in the end, what looks like this is good for my family may turn out to be the worst decision if it was not guided by the Lord. Because the Bible says, as humans, we see what is outside, we only see the physical if we are not walking in the spirit. But God sees his spirit, he sees what is behind that space. Moses was mindful, says, even though he was raised as a prince, he didn't allow that to become his identity. He knew who he was. I'm a Hebrew. You are a child of God. You are a child of God first and foremost. You must keep that in your heart. Don't allow any situation to pressure you. That's one of the evils about poverty. I know about deep lack. It can pressure you to want to do things that you would not normally do. But I believe that even at such times, if you say, God, I need you to help me, deliver me from this temptation, O Lord. Give me strength. You know, Lord, I need these things. My family needs this. But God, I would rather do what pleases you. That was Joseph also. Joseph had the opportunity to sleep with Potiphar's daughter and gain, you know, favors. But Joseph said, how can I do this and sin against God? Remember who you are. Remember that any choice you make now, it may look like the immediate was settled, but its impact will be far-reaching. Like Esau, he couldn't turn it. He came back with tears. Father, please. Father said, I'm sorry. I've already given your brother the blessing. We know with the God of second chances, he gives second chances. But why go for the second when you can patiently wait and receive the first? Why? So remember who you are. As a mom, as a dad, remember if you are still single and searching, building your life, building your career, hey, know where you are going. You know, that's the, you know, when you are young, many times we don't think too far. We're only thinking about now. Think. That's what the Bible said about Moses. He was thinking about faith's reward. Let's think also beyond this earth, that we have a better hope waiting for us. That's not to say accept whatever situation comes, just keep managing all through your life. That's not what we are saying. What we are saying is trust God. Let God guide you. Believe that God loves you and have his best for you. That he will lead you to where you will be taken care of,
The Bible says the blessings of the Lord, it makes rich and does not add sorrow. When the Lord leads you, the Bible says it makes you rich. Rich is not only in the physical things, even your soul is enriched. That peace, to lie down and have peace at night, can you pay for that? Versus that sense of guilt and condemnation about something you've done, that deep sense of regret, can you compare those two? Is that something you are ready to trade in for? A momentary pleasure? No, it's not worth it. Keep your assignment in view. Remember who you are. Remember that we are just sojourners here. We are just passing through. There's a better place waiting for us. Yes, we believe God for the best that He offers here, the best that this world can offer as we live for His glory, but we also look beyond here to the final reward. We'll be rewarded crowns of gold. Remember that. That's not to say stay in poverty. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because poverty, that's what the devil uses to do some of these things. Makes people to make decisions. But just know that as a child of God, you know, many times we fear, I don't want to suffer, I don't want to suffer. All this suffer, suffer. You know, if we see suffering differently as children of God, it helps. What God does, God doesn't pass you through a route just to make you suffer unnecessarily, to make things tough, to make you look bad. No. When He does that, the Bible says He's building up character. One of the virtues that we need as Christians that's helpful is that virtue of perseverance, endurance, patience. You know why? Just like what I said, one of the strategy of the enemy is now, now, now. Hausas call it maza, maza. No time to think. No time to think. Now, now. And because the enemy, our Father knows it, He tries to build that area of our lives. Be patient. Endure. So you may be at a place looking like nothing is happening, and you're like, God, I want to move on. And the Lord is wanting to say, wait. He's building character. He's building perseverance. Those things, as simple as they sound, they are what makes a man or a woman. Many people are in the things that they are in just because of one moment, one hasty moment, like Esau. One hasty moment, they lost it. You don't want to go that route. So be patient. Trust God. Trust the process. Know that He loves you. He loves your family. He has a plan for your life. And He says good thoughts to give you a hope and a future. Don't be in a hurry. Don't use another person to measure whether you are successful. That's not. Your success is in your obeying God moment by moment. That's what you should use to test your success, to rate your success. Did I do what God asked me to do the last time? Am I still where He wants me to be? If you are where God wants you to be, forget other people. Face your race. Face your race. In Nigeria here, we say, face your front. Forget those there. Leave them. Face your race. Face your race. You will discover that years down the line, those people that look like they were going so fast, you'll be looking for them and you'll be wondering, where are they? Where are they? God is not in a hurry. God is not interested in you blowing like the word, I want to blow. Young people, I want to blow. No, He's interested in you growing. He wants you to grow, to be a person of character. Charisma is not enough. Character is more important. And that's what God wants to build. So, what is it again that Jesus knew? He knew where He was from. He knew who He was. Remember, you are an heir of the Father. If you are giving your life to Jesus, you are a child of the King, a child of God. You are an heir of the Father, joint heirs with Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. Remember that. You are an ambassador of the kingdom. Remember that. And remember your kingdom. never leaves you alone. God is always with you. It doesn't matter how things look. Don't sell your birthright for any opportunity, for any relationship. Don't. It's not worth it. That's where we'll stop for today. I trust that God has used those words to bless you this morning and to encourage you. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth this morning. Thank you because your word brings life. Your word brings light. Father, thank you for using your word today to give light and direction to your daughter and to your son. Thank you for using your word to remove every darkness and causing them to see the path you want them to follow. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I declare to you that this is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, you will rejoice and be glad in this day. It's not a day of disappointment, discouragement. No, it's a day to rejoice and be glad. It's a day to blossom and to be fruitful. The Lord bless you and do have a great day. I want to use this time to remind you on tomorrow, we'll be having a time of prayer. But on Saturday morning, we are having our praying and believing God for our young ones. Even if you say, oh, I don't have a child now, please come. There are lives around you. You could use your prayer to touch, to impact. There are other young lives too, younger than yourself. You have relatives, you have young friends. So parents, guidance, come join us. And let's believe God together to see God fulfill what he has said concerning our children. The Lord bless you and see you again tomorrow morning by God's grace. Bye for now.